All right, there are two primary psukim we need to know before we get into the sugya. Okay, so we'll get to bris kahuna solom in a second, but the two ones about melech. Okay, so the first one's on. Let's actually read this one, which I gave you last. The one on this page here. All right, it's perek beis pasuk yud gimel, right in Vayikra. Yosef, what does it say there? Bluth, let's go read the pasuk. What does it say? Bechol. Timlach, right? What does this pasuk teach you? Simple pshat. Pshat. What's the pasuk? The chol korban mincha secha. Come on, translate. Every mincha korban requires melicha, right? Now, what's the next thing mean? Velo sashbis melach bris elokecha me'al mincha secha. What does that mean? What does tashbis mean? You know this. What? Okay, meaning, where else we learn that? Where are you getting that from, by the way? Good. You get that from Chametz, where the Torah also says you need to eradicate. It really means eradicate. Okay, destroy. But it's interesting. Here, what's the context? The context is almost implying it'd be impossible to ever have, it'd be an isser to not have salt on your korban mincha. Okay? What does it say at the end? I'll call korbanecha tekriv melech. What does that seem to teach you? All korbanos, right? No, all korbanos. You're right, but I'll call. Yeah, it's true. But on every korban, every of your korbanos is fine, right? So you see in this pasuk alone, you see this. You see a tension here, where at the beginning of the pasuk it's every mincha, and then the end it actually says every korban. Okay, and then the other pasuk, bluth, the other one is over here, right? Call trumos kodeshim. This use of bris melach is a very, very difficult thing. You should just know on the side. The idea of bris melach has its own like huge. This is Darius Lane. Huge kabbalistic, like mystical background. That's bris melach, the covenant of melach. We're not going to take that up. No. Yeah. What? One other one for now. Kol trumos kodeshim. What? Lashem. The Chokola, okay. Bris Melach. Now it's interesting. There's no indication of a Maisa of Malicha. It's just saying what? It's saying like Bris Melach teaches you that this thing's important. Okay. What does the Rambam say? Just as a little background to help us introduce you to the sugya. Sometimes it's good to look at the Rambam first. Okay, so the Rambam says in Hilchos Machal Sesoros Parak Babalach Yud Beis. What does he say? Kol Dvar Ma'ilu. So he's talking about malicha that's required that you do by cooking, right? For cooking raw meat. Aval et sli. What's sli? Roasting. Okay, you barbecue the meat. Keep going. Okay, so you put the kosher salt on the meat, right? Now, think about, okay, what happens when you put the kosher salt on the meat? Right, but remember, it usually takes time for blood to be soaked. So why is roasting different?
Roast it right away because the blood boils out.
Right, exactly. In other words, the combination of putting the salt on and then roasting it will ensure the blood escapes as quickly as possible, okay? And I wrote to Lechol Basar Chaim Mocho. Now, again, this is important language here. Mocho Yafe Yafe. What does it mean to Molech? Well, okay. What does it mean to do Malicha Yafe Yafe? So you would think it could mean a. Right, so. Okay. Well salted. Now, does that mean. What does that mean, well salted? Meaning complete. Darius is already thinking. Good. I know. I'm being coy for a reason, okay? Hold on. We didn't see the Gemara yet. Now, what's the other Rambam? The Rambam says, this is the important one. Mitzvahs and Hilchos, Yisurim, Mizbeach, Perachei, Elochi, Aleph. What does the Rambam say? Mitzvahs, Aseh. Go ahead, Bluth. Listen to that carefully, okay? You must do melicha on every korban before it touches the mizbeach, okay? So mechayev melicha in before it comes up to the mizbeach. That's before it goes on the mizbeach, it must be salted, okay? Shenamar. So notice how it's the Rambam's reading it. I'll call korban achat takri, meaning hakrava. Before I do hakravas korban, what must take place? Melicha. Okay. If ain lecha. And everything requires melicha that's brought to the mizbeach, except for wine, blood, and the wood that they use. So what does he say? B'davar zeh. And we don't have what? We don't, this is from Kabbalah, which means what? It's a mesorah, right? There's nothing open in the Torah that tells you this is the case. It's a mesorah. So the Rambam then says, a mitzvah limloach. Hold on, you'll see why. Moleach. Shemahafech. Stop. So how does the Rambam describe Melicha in this context? Ashish. How does he describe it in this context? Same at sleep. So what would you do? You would take the limb of the animal and you would, now, again, in his Yafa Yafa, so in its entirety. Okay? You would actually salt this side and then flip it over and then salt this side and onto the Mizbeach. Okay. That being the case, now let's look at the Gemara. Okay? This is very interesting.
We're not here talking about Gagir
now. No, we're going to get back to that. Okay. New Bluth, Gemara. Yutes Amabez, Maskifla, Rav Huna. Now, if you remember, Rav, one of our important characters in this theme, in this story, Rav held that every time the Torah repeats something, right, if it repeats it by Mincha, it's Makiv. So, of course, what's the Gemara going to do now? Challenge that assumption. Again, I know it's a Bikiyas point, but it's important for you guys to understand. Gemara does this a lot. You'll have like an overarching set of questions, and then it'll bring in a case, right, to justify the question. We're going to explore that case, okay? So the question is it true that Rav really holds every time the Torah repeats itself by Mincha, it's Ma'akev? Yes, it's true, but it's directed to Rav, okay? Delotana. Excuse me, Vahari Melach. Sorry, Vahari Melach. Great, sorry. Ma'akvabe, right? Now, one second. By Melach, what do we see? The Torah doesn't repeat Melach. Nonetheless, what do we know by Melach? It's Ma'akev, the Sanya, because the Brisa says... I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing, Blue. Don't worry. Good, good, good. Bris Melach Olam He. What? Yes, he did.
So what was the assumption?
That's part of the Havamina. He knows the Pasuk. Just keep going, though. The Torah says Bris Melach Olam He. Right? What does that mean? Shetehei. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that, I mean, literally, what does it mean when he says... Bris Amor B'Melach. Rashi. Look at Rashi. What does that mean? What does it mean, Shalot Tifsog Mekarbanos? What does that mean? What's that again? Okay, what does that mean? What's Bris Melach teaching you then? What does it mean it shouldn't interrupt? What does that mean? Meaning that you can't have Korban without Melach. It becomes part of Korban. Okay? It's part of the Korban. The identity of Korban now is tied to Melach. Lo tifsok min karbanos means you can never have a Korban that goes onto the Mizbeach without salt. It's clear. Okay? What?
Wait, Melicha or Melach?
Yoshima
Nomer?
He. All right. V'nemar lahalan. So it says in one spot Bris Melach, the other one it says Bris Kunas Olam. Bris Kunas Olam, you saw the pasuk is talking about who? Pinchas, right? Pinchas. So what's it called? Okay. It says Bris Melach and Bris Kunas Olam. So so shem shawai. Okay, so just like I can't have a korbanos without kohanim, I can't have a korban without melach. Okay, now just what? Yes, which should lead you to ask. Okay, so what is it about bris that teaches you this has to be the case? But before you get to that, though, methodologically, take a step back. What, let's understand, how would you set, what's the machlokas here, without defining it, just factually? What was I saying? Just factually. What, they're not arguing about, they both agree that melach is ma'akev. The question is, how do you learn out melach's ma'akev? That's a much more difficult machlokas to define. This is much more difficult because they're not arguing about whether it's ma'akev or not. They're saying it is ma'akev. It's just a question of what's the better way to learn. Should we learn it from bris melach alone or compare bris melach to bris kahuna? Okay. Dave. Svirle. De Amar. All right. So what's the Gemara's response? The Gemara says, "Oh, Rav all along holds that Melach is not Makiv, right? That's an easy answer. Rather than go to some fancy like Svara, just say no. He lines up like the Shita that says Lomalach. Now, which Shita says Lomalach? Our Mishnah says Lomalach Kasher. So you could say that Rav lines up like the Shita and the Mishnah. But then the Gemara says, if that's true, if you guys remember, right, remember when the Gemara says lo yatzak, that doesn't mean if I didn't do any yitzik at all, it means zar. Very good. So the Gemara says, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rav Yosef, that's a terrible answer. Ihachi. Ihachi. Lo yatzak klal. Ela lo yatzak. Ela zar. Hachanami. So he must be learning the Gemara. You can't say that because the Mishnah doesn't mean if you don't do any malicha at all, it's not kosher. The Mishnah is saying a zar can do it. So what's the answer? So Amar Leir of Yosef Labaye, each one of these steps needs to be defined, by the way. But what do you mean? So you're right. Good, very good. He's rehashing an argument that the Gemara seemed to say wasn't such a good argument. Okay, good. Good, good, good. So Amar Leir, so Rav Yosef says to Labaye, what? Al Daitach Shazar. What are you, insane? Meaning, of course you have to say that, what do you call it? Lomalach Eino Kasher. Because how could a Zar ever do Malicha? Because what do you have to do? What do you have to do to do Malicha? You have to go to the Mizbeach. Can a Zar go? What? We'll get to, that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Okay, or next week. Right? But he can't do Malicha because where's the Malicha going to take place? On the Mizbeach. How could a Zar go there? He can't. I ask one simple question. What's the machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon? Rav Yehuda says, you learn, this is Huff, Rav Yehuda says you learn out from Bris Melach, meaning the fact that Torah tells you Bris Melach, and as Rashi says, Shiloh Tifsuk Mikorbanos. So somehow Bris Melach teaches you that the Melach is part of the Korban. And what does Rav Shimon say? He says, no, I can learn out a different way. Bris Kunas Olam to Bris Melach. What do you begin with this, I ask? What's the starting point? One side says, learn out from Bris Melach. What's bothering Rav Shimon with Rav Yehuda's approach? Bris Melach sounds like what? Very important. The covenant of salt. And therefore, the covenant is made between the salt and the korban. Why does Rav Shimon not like that? Or, to flip it around, Rav Shimon says, okay, well, you see it says Bris Kunas Olam there, and it says Bris Melach here. Of course, Kali made the point of saying it says Bris everywhere. It does, right? Bris is repeated a lot of times. Bris Kunas Olam, you see that the korban can't exist without a kohen. You see the same thing by a korban with melach. This is one of those sugyas, I kid you not, it works out so beautifully. This is one of those sugyas where you need a working definition. The first step is you need a basic approach to understand melicha, or melach, if you will, or both. That's the first step. You need to figure out, I mean, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are really, in my opinion, they're really opening up for us the struggle, the issue of Malicha. I think it's a simple Chakira. It is a classic Brisker Chakira, but the wrong one, unfortunately for you. So it's like this, because I can show how it works in the Pasuk very nicely, okay? Something like that. But don't jump to that point. Okay, let's look at salt for a second. Forget the Pesukim. It's always good to get away from the Pasuk and just look at salt, okay? Now, we know, but now, and remember, we're not just talking about malicha by the meat, we're talking about malicha by a mincha. So you see that whatever it's doing by the meat, it's not the same thing by the mincha, and yet it's universal. You're not taking out, when I put melach on the mincha, I'm not taking out blood. What? Right. Okay, so that's already a hint that it's not It's not a maisa malicha idea yet, okay? But so I've asked you, as we're all culinary experts here, right? And he's about to have his the mall, right? And he's got French fries from New Delhi, right? Khalid goes to the mall, he has French fries, he puts salt in it. There's two ways you can look at salt. There's two ways to look at salt. Okay, so if you look at the either... No, I won't say that. No, it's either... Right. In other words, there's two aspects to salt. On the one hand, from a functional standpoint, what's it doing? It's enhancing the food. But have I now added a substance to my food substance? I have. So salt has a very unique, just like any spice, has a unique dual identity. On the one hand, it's both a substance because it's in my, food, but it has a very different type of function, right? Because whereas you want to eat the French fries, it's not that you want to eat the salt, you want your French fries to taste better. When the Torah says bris melach, so normally an additive, and that's what you were saying, an additive. An additive means something whose function is to enhance something else. An additive requires bris melach to raise it from simply being an additive to something intrinsic to korban. Additives are not intrinsically important. They're additives. They're again, your salt is not critical for your fries to be okay. You'll eat your fries otherwise. You bring in the salt to make it better. Something making something else better requires a Torah to come along and call it bris melach. This idea of bris melach, that's what Rashi means. Shel tisak min hakorbanos. The bris melach raises this normative additive to be something very important for the korban. But if you look at it as a substance, right? How do you know this substance, right, is an intrinsic part of korban? Bris kunas olam. Because you see by bris kunas olam, just like, it's trying to show you that this substance, right, is just as important in the sequence of korban as anything else, right? Two ways you can look at salt in the psukim. Bris melach raises it from additive to something important. Or you say, no, it's a substance. And now, how do I know the substance is a universally required substance? Bris kunas olam. Okay? Because if you think about it, remember, there's certain things you'd intuitively know are part of korban. Like, I need an animal. I don't need a Torah to tell me the animal's ma'akev. Because I can't have a korban without an animal. But salt, right, as a food, you wouldn't think is necessary. So by comparing it to bris kunas olam, it's telling you its importance is no different than the kohen's importance. But that's if you look at it as a substance. And if you look at it as an additive, you don't need to compare it to bris kunas olam because you just need the idea of it being elevated to something important in and of itself. Bris melach. Part of the identity of korban now is salt. You cannot do a hakrabas korban without salt. It's part of what a korban is. It's taking something that, like Clara was saying, it's taking something that normally, even if it's a substance, even if it is a substance, its nature is to be something added to something else.
Yeah, no one eats salt.
It's a chiddush to say, right, it's a chiddush to say now it's part of the korban. That's a big step. Dam, part of the korban, right? I can understand that. What? Dam. So now let's the other thing I want to define is, let's get to the back and forth now. So what does the Gemara say? So the Gemara says, oh, so Rav Yosef comes along and says, Rav holds like the shita that says, Melicha is not makif. Sneaks out of the problem, right? Abaye comes along and says, that's a ridiculous answer. Because you see from the Mishnah, lo yatsak doesn't mean... So he says, lo yatsak doesn't mean he doesn't do yitzik at all. It means the Zohar did it, right? Which is Granik's question. It's a good question. But didn't we abandon that idea by Belila? We did. And then Gemara comes back and says, yeah, but of course the Zohar can't do it. Because you can never say you learned the Mishnah that the Zohar can do Melicha because the Zohar can't do Melicha. Because how can you get to the next of the Mizbeach? We'll take up Tosas next time. What's the step-by-step here? I ask. In other words, the first step you have to take is, guys, the first step you're going to want to take is, in other words, why would you think, and it flows perfectly with what I just said a second ago, why would you think the relationship of Melach to the Korban Mincha is different than, let's say, the relationship of Shemen to the Mincha? Well, hold on. That's the first thing you need to answer. In other words, what's that showing you, first and foremost? Right. So, okay. Right. So the first step to take is like this. Why would you think salt's not ma'akev? Simple. Because this works perfectly in the pasuk. Because what's happening? So think about it. We know the identity of the mincha can only emerge through the oil and the flour. I can't speak of a mincha without oil and flour. It's impossible. But I need the Torah to come along and tell me what? The Torah has to come along and say, oh, bring in melach, right? And the melach, because of the word bris, is super added onto the mincha. So you have to understand there's two ways something can create like an intrinsic relationship. Okay? No, a little similar. In other words, one way is to say that the very identity of the thing can't come into existence without it. Yes, similar to that idea. Meaning, I can't talk about a mincha if I don't have oil and flour. When it comes to salt, that's a different kind of intrinsic. That's the Torah's chiddush coming along and saying, because if you think about it, what does salt have to do with the mincha? Nothing, right? The bris tells you it's super added onto the mincha. That's another type of... Say it again? Superimposed. It's super added. It's super added onto the korban, onto the mincha. So I would think that the melach's not ma'akev, right? Because the melach is super added onto... It's super added... It's superimposed onto the mincha. You need bris melach to teach that to you. So maybe I would think it's not ma'akev. What's a bias counter to that? What's really his counter? He knows your kasha about Belila. What's his counter? The Torah tells us, right? It says, "I'll call korbanacha takriv melach." Abaye says, "You can never learn out. You're insane. Why would you have to learn out that melach is ma'akev?"
Yeah, because every korban is not shvita.
Meaning what? It's not a din in it being added to the substance. Rather, what can't take place without melach? The maisa hakrava. I cannot be makriv a korban without melach. So it's very nice to tell me that bris super added onto it. Great. But at the end of the day, can I ever do a maisa hakrava without melach? No. That's integral. But that's exactly the point. You can never build salt into the chafsa, because salt's function is to do what? It's to be an additive, right? You're always adding it to the top of something. It's not part of it, right? So that's why. So that's the chakir Rishon Abaye and Rav Yosef. On the one hand, its relationship is always one of being an additive. Even if you say it's a substance, it's still an additive. On the other hand, though, you see it's tied to the hakrava itself and the shame korban. When I can only talk about this korban as a korban and hakrava. Hakrava is the essence of korban is always tied to hakrava. Mizbeach, yes. Just this is what I want to leave off with. So Tosfos says like this. So Tosfos questions the conclusion of the Gemara to say, what do you mean a czar couldn't do Malicha? So listen to Tosos. Tosos says, it's in Zvachim, and he says like this. He says, Opera komitz rabba, Amar lo malach kohen el azar, parech v'chital al daitach shazar karav. So yesh lomar, da'afil l'rabbanan de'islahu b'mapucha uzrika. Well, mapucha. Okay. Uzrika, parech, she'en yichon l'mloach b'tov v'ayde uzrika. So what that means is that you could work out a way where the czar could do it. Because what he could do is you can go to the Sadam Mizbeach, right? To the lower area, and then Zorik the salt onto what? Onto the Mizbeach, right? So the coin holds the meat out, right? Let's say the czar is down over here, chucks it up. Why is not good? All he says is, She'en yichol nemloach bitov ayde zrika. Now, the word bitov can mean two things. Right, okay, so does that mean like not like efficient, meaning you won't get a lot of salt on the meat? Or bitov here mean like more like it's not the it's not the nice way to do it? Right. So what would you say?
It's about salting meat well.
Salting meat, right, it sounds that way, right? It's going to be inefficient use of salt. Ah, okay, good. See, Kali realized why I brought that in. You certainly don't get yafeh, right? It's not going to be a... It doesn't seem that way. But so what do you see by Tosos? What's Tosos trying to bring out? So what's the problem? So why can't... I think it does mean Betov. He's not doing it like... it's not the best way to do it, right? Not like it's lacking in like, you know, like covered. I don't think it's a covered idea. I think it means it's going to be an inefficient way of salting. So what does that show you? Why can't he do it? What would you say? What does Malicha require? It's interesting. What? Well, you know it requires a Maisa, but what kind of Maisa? Okay, could we get a little more? What do you mean by complete? But if I'm up over here, right, and I'm chucking it up, what's going to happen over time? That's true, but also at some point I'll hit most of the meat. The result will still be there.
It's got to be juxtaposed.
Okay. Okay, fine, but like say better than that. Why is it not deliberate? I'm trying to get the salt in the meat. Right. So, okay, so that's... Okay, right. So, it has to be in the Maisa Malicha. Fine. It has to be nicker, it has to be recognizable between my action that I'm relating to the meat. But I'd argue that the reason why they repeat this yaffa yaffa business, which the Gemara is also going to say, the Rambam says it over and over again, is because there's, in the Maisa Melicha, it must be done in a uniform way. In other words, there's a way to salt something, right? When you salt your french fries, right? How do you do it?
Spread out.
Like this, right? Right, right. That's uniform. You don't just say, you don't just like, imagine you went like this, and then like this. Like this. In other words, that's not a Maisa Melicha is done in a uniform way. So yaffa yaffa means that he slowly works his way around to make sure it's complete. It's not just that it has to be complete. Because if it were complete, then if the Tsar did it, it would end up being complete. But in the way he does it has to express uniformity. In the very action itself, it must be nicker. I agree with you that it shows you how it's relating to the meat. But by it being a uniform salting, that demonstrates his relationship to the Melicha itself, to the meat. Okay? Would you want to...